Welcome to Sister Soldiers Unite, where we believe there are no strings strong enough to bound the spirit of a woman. Tune in every Tuesday this March for panel discussions and more. Listeners, call in at 805-830-8320. And here is your hostess, Ms. LaCrush Hart.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Phone Fantasy Radio's Sister Soldiers Unite. We finally made it here. This is a long time coming. Believe me when I tell you, it really is a long time coming. But I finally was able to time everything perfectly so we can go ahead and have this month-long celebration. I am your hostess, Ms. LaCrush Hart. Tonight is our first meeting, ladies. And what a splendid conversation we have planned for you tonight. For those that don't know, March is National Women's History Month. And 2015 is also the 35th anniversary of the Women's History Movement. As early as the 1970s, there was no curriculum that covered women in history. And we have made great strides, ladies. We have made great strides. But there was no way for us to teach our children this. So they had come together. The Education Task Force, California, came together, and they initiated a Women's History Week in 1978. And then the week of March 8th, which is International Women's Day, is really the focal point for Women's History Week. Well, that spread like wildfire. People was participating. It was great. You know, they secured National Women's History Week. And by 1980, it was, okay, observant of the month. By like 1987. So, you know, I thought, why not Phone Fantasy Radio go ahead and have conversations surrounding the ladies. Also look and have the Fan of Her spotlight where we have guests come in, of women guests come in and tell us about what they're doing and how they're making strides for their community and for themselves. And what better way to do that is for the month of March. So that's what's going on here at Phone Fantasy Radio. Sister Soldiers Unite. Our sisters are here. I'm here. We're having a good time. You can call us up, 805-830-8320. Press 1. You can also join me in the chat room at phonefantasyradio.com/LIVE. Click on the tune in now. The player will automatically start. You hear my voice. You can join into the conversation. Comments, stories, all is welcome, ladies. This is an open discussion. Gentlemen, you are also welcome to join into the conversation. Men, I do not want to shy away the men, but this is Sister Soldier Unite. So, excuse me. With that being said... With that being said, I want to give a shout-out to the Sister Soldiers of Phone Fantasy Radio, Mistress Sexy May, Miss Brick from Brick in the City, and myself, and also can't forget Big The City. He also joined in. And we all met up, and we had a good time. We did a little shopping. Had a little conversation, shared a couple of burgers. So we had a really good time meeting up, and then we got caught in the snow. But we're here, and we're on time, and we're ready. So that was so much fun. That was a lot of fun, a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And I see my ladies are coming in. I see y'all there. Just give me a second here. Let me catch my bearings because it's been a long day. It's been a long day, but welcome, everyone. Welcome to the show. Once again, the number is 805-830-8320. Press 1 and join in. Now, tonight's conversation to start things off would normally have been parental guidance on the Honey Sweep. Because this is Sister Soldier Unite, I also wanted to keep it, you know, along the same line. So tonight is conversation is to bear fruit or not. What the hell does that mean, crush? Well, I want to examine some of the circumstances that women face when it comes to recreating or procreating and reproducing and having children in today's society, the pressures, the circumstances, the failures, the success, the, you know, it's like for the last couple of weeks, it's like you hear nothing but women did this and women does that. And I'm a woman. You know, I last time I checked, I was a woman, and it started concerning me, like, do y'all really feel that way? You know, and these is like, you know, it's not just from guys, it's from women as well. Like, you know, it really had me question, like, is that how you really feel about women? You know, women did this, and women did that, and women destroyed men, and women, like, wait, hold up now. How we destroyed them and birthed them at the same time? That makes no sense to me. So we're going to talk about... We're going to take a look at the pressures, the circumstances surrounding a woman's right to choose to have a child or not. How do other outside entities like society views, religion, and other factors weigh in on the final decision made, and how does it affect the life of the woman and the child? And we're going to talk about so much more. Everything can't be covered in this topic, so we're going to, if you have a story, please, please, please call in and share your story. I will not cut you off. I want to hear your details, your accounts, and your experiences. I personally do not have children, and we will get into that soon enough, my decisions on why I chose or choose not to have any children. So we'll get to that shortly, soon enough. But right now, let me introduce my girls, because I can't be on here by myself. I can't be on here by myself. Mistress Sexy May.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm
glad
awesome.
To be part of the show.
Right. And I also have Miss Lady C. Y'all know who she is, Miss Sugar Sugar.
Hello.
How are you doing, Lady C?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good? How's the weather over there in Louisiana?
Today was a warm day.
That's whack. We got snow.
That's
whack. We sleeting and sliding and slipping and we too big to be falling. We're too big to be falling. But we was holding on each other. We was each other's support today. Grab my hand, girl. Grab my hand. You did not want to fall today. But it is all good, folks. This is a nice, casual conversation, as our ladies heard. Tonight is to bear fruit or not. And I believe both of y'all have children. So I'm going to get all of your business. Please let me know if you don't want to answer a question. You can plead the fifth.
Hello.
It's all right. You know, this is a very sensitive topic for some people, and I don't want to make nobody uncomfortable. So this is my disclaimer right now. If you feel uncomfortable with a question, or you don't want to share a particular, you know, you say, I plead the fifth, and we'll move right along. We'll move right along.
Okay,
who's that in the background making noise? I hear you, damn it. Anyway, so first and foremost, Mistress Sexy May, jumping right to you. I'm going to jump right into the conversation. You have children, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. How many children do you have altogether?
Two.
Their genders?
I'm sorry, someone's at the door. Oh, my gosh. Hang on. I'm trying to order some food real quick.
Oh, okay.
Bye. Thank you. Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, so what was the question?
Okay, what are their genders?
My daughter's 25 and my son's 18.
Okay, well, you answered both questions at the same time. Okay. Now, Lady C, you have children. You have a squad. How many children do you have? How many children do you have altogether, Lady C?
I have four biological and one stepchild.
Okay. and you got a swole army of grandkids.
20. Oh, yeah.
How old are they, Lady C?
Okay, 38, 37, 82, 22, and 25.
Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
38.
Uh-huh. 37, 36, 32,
and 25.
Okay. All that. They my age. They older than me. Damn, Lady C. All right. So that's that sounds great. Boy, girl, girl, boy, boy. What's the ratio there?
The oldest is a boy, and all the rest are girls.
One boy... And basically four girls. Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you about your first. Well, actually, I'm going to ask you, was you married when you had your first child?
I was married when I had him, but I wasn't married when I got pregnant.
Okay. Was you underage when you had him?
I was 18.
Oh, you was just, yeah. You got married at 17, you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's cool. And when you found out you was pregnant, what kind of reaction did your family have?
Well, my mom gave me the option of abortion.
Okay.
I had a church member that had diagnosed, took me to the clinic and said, well, you know, you don't have to have it. But I never believed in abortion for me. I believe in giving people a free choice. But I always figured if I was with somebody, I either going to have a baby, if I got pregnant, I'm going to have my baby. So my mom said, well, what you want to do? I said, I want to have my baby. My dad said, well, we got a child, a grandbaby on the way. But I always believe it's better to have a free choice, but I never would do that for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, did you ever tell your child that? Did you ever have that particular conversation when your first grandchild came?
Yeah. I was blessed that all of my daughters were their first child. They were 20.
Okay.
But I gave them all, and when they got old enough and I figured they were active, I gave them the talk. It's a choice. You know, be careful. But you don't have to. If you don't want to have this child, you don't have to. It's
right.
your choice. But
right.
even though I don't believe in it, and you know, but it's free choice. If you figure you can't deal with it and it's going to push you over there, you have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have their choice to make their decision.
Okay. Let me ask you about the anxiety. The anxiety of being so young and having a child and being in a time the time of life that you was in, it was just the early 80s? Nope, 70s, late 70s, right?
70s.
Right. You was in the 70s. The women power, civil rights movement, all that stuff is just happening. The world is turning with that anxiety. You just finished school or you're in school, you just got married. What kind of pressure or anxiety do you think you had at that time?
Well, basically, I lost track of everything else other than my children and my home. I became a mom and a wife. I went from high school. I got married before I graduated, right before I graduated high school. And I became a wife, pregnant. Graduated, 1 o'clock stage, baby in the belly.
Right.
So, and it was, my career goals were to go to the Army.
Really?
But I ended up pregnant, so.
Right. So that
scary.
Was like, okay.
And yeah,
you
it changed my
that.
Whole view on things. And, yeah, it gives you, you know, being that age, I didn't think of anything else. I started thinking about my child. And it was, and you had some anxiety because you go from being in your parents' security to saying, well, you got to stand on your own. What do you mean? You know, you got to feed yourself, fix dinner, then you got this child on the way, and you got to think of what you got to do.
Right.
You know. But
let me ask
you. See, I have,
about abortion, what made you say, no, it's not for me? What is it, just a religion belief, or you heard horror stories? What made you say, no, that's not for me to begin with?
I heard horror stories in high school. I remember it was right when they were fighting making abortion legal, and well, doing it clinically. And I heard the back, you know, the bad stories of abortion, the girl having one, and this being, you know, she ended up back in the emergency room bleeding, and they trying to figure out what's wrong. I heard all of that, but I always, in my mind, it's a child from day one. That's my belief, because I think a child is a gift from God. But I also believe that if a woman figures she can't deal with it, she shouldn't be forced to. You know, it's in her mind, she comes to the conclusion that she doesn't want to.
Right.
You know, I just think you should be given the correct information, not beaten into, oh, you've got to have this baby, you're killing. Give them all the evidence, you know, okay, you figure this is what you have to do, are you sure? Talk them through it. Don't just beat them into not having the abortion. Give them, talk to them. Are you sure? Okay, then this is your choice. Okay, it's your choice. You know, I have a close family member that had one, and when she did, I cried because I told her, give me the baby. But at the time, she said she just didn't figure she could deal with it. And everybody, okay, have it. I said, okay, but I cried. To this day, I think it could have been my baby, but it was her choice. But I gave her, you know, although I didn't want her to, it was her choice. I said, okay, I stood by her. Because a little while ago, she thought about, what if I had to have my baby? What? I say, it's okay. You know, you didn't, but it's all right. You did what you thought you had to do at the time.
Right.
You know, she had two more children since then, so, you know. But they make it such a bad thing. They bombard the people that even if what Christian or non-Christian, they make them like they just crazy. You can't do this. And they're not giving them it's your freedom of choice. We should have that choice. I mean, I'm the person, you know, that when they said birth control pill is 99.9%, I'm that 0.1% that it don't work on. That's why I have stair steps. I was on the pill for my second two children.
And I you didn't want children for your
second
and third one.
I didn't want them that close.
Right.
I didn't want them that close, but wow. I'm going for my checkup. Well, you stopped taking the pill. No, I didn't. Well, you can stop taking it. Why? You're pregnant. You know. And at that time, right. Well, what are you going to do? You know, it was still given a choice. You don't have to have this baby that close. But that wasn't my choice. I didn't feel that, you know.
Okay.
They drove me crazy having three children in diapers and in bottles at the time.
Yeah, and you had 22, right? Like, they were all back-to-back really, right?
Back-to-back. I'm 20 years old with three infants. Making 18 bottles a day, changing diapers and stuff. At one point, I didn't know nothing but house. I didn't go anywhere but to the doctor with them.
Right.
I didn't have time to. And it's a stressful thing, but you learn that you can be, you know, you deal with the situation, what you have to do.
Right. You do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do. I could have said no, but I figured everybody got to make a choice. And my choice was to have them.
Okay. Well, more power to you and your choices. We're glad you had them. We're glad you had them. We're glad you're here to share your experience. Now I can bring back Mistress Sexy May, who's also monitoring the chat room for me. So all those that, you know, can't make it on the lines, you can go to the chat room at phonefantasyradio.com/LIVE. And, yes, I'm glad we did meet together, Sister Soldiers of Soul Fantasy Radio.
Yes.
Lady May, good grief. Mistress Sexy May, you told us before I had a, you know, interruption. You have two children. One's a boy, one's a girl, 25 and 18, is that?
Yes.
Okay, so 25 years ago, you found out she was pregnant. Were you married when you had your child?
Well, actually, my 25-year-old, I raised her since she was 4 years old. So it's like, I'll never say she's not, but to just clarify for the record that she's my
right.
stepchild, but I've raised her ever since she was four, took
uh-huh.
her in since she was four, and groomed her and raised her like she was mine.
Okay, that's even better. I believe in that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I believe wholeheartedly in that. I guess because I'm a foster child, but that's another story. myself. So, your son then, was you
yes.
married when you had your son?
Yes. And I felt like, you know, I was going to marry the man that also brought me my daughter. So I thought, my opinion at the time was, if I marry a man that has a child, that child will be welcome into my heart, just like if the child was my own.
Right.
You know, and so it just so happened that, you know, I was able to have custody of her, raise her, and, you know, I raised both my kids to the best of my abilities. You know, I love them both.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, what kind of pressures from the outside, from your mom or your family, did you have when you found out that you was pregnant and you had this 4 or 5 year old stepchild as well? Well, you were already grown when this happened, right?
Yeah, I was definitely already grown. I was about 25, so
mm-hmm.
they were actually ready for me to settle down because I was a wild child. But
mm-hmm.
you know. Just like it was like instant family, you know, like cream
mm-hmm.
of wheat. It was like I got a daughter, now I got about to have a baby, and it was like they had to help me a lot of the way because, like, you know, the family I have, they adopted me from the streets when I was a young girl, so they literally had to teach me how to be a mom because
right.
Instant mother didn't mean I knew how to be a mother, so they definitely had to teach me how to be the mother that they needed. I mean, I know I loved them. I know I'd
mm-hmm.
fight for them. But, you know, there's just certain things that I had to be taught because I didn't know.
Right.
You know.
So I definitely agree with you as far as that. And I say this, you know, people actually, well, I don't want to have kids. They ask the most stupidest questions. One, the reason why I don't want to have kids, my number one is I don't want to do it alone. I'm not saying I
yeah.
can't. I know I can. I've been through a whole lot, so I know I'm a survivor, and I know I can make it. But I do believe I would want my child to have both parents in the
yeah.
life, and I wouldn't want that to disrupt, you know, my relationship with my boyfriend or husband, whoever it may be at the time, you know. So, like,
right.
If you can't take care of me, and I'm selfish, like, that's it, I'm selfish. I need all
yeah.
your attention right now. You know, to bring
right.
a child in, it's no longer about you. It's about that child.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely didn't believe that. I'm not the type of woman to think, you know, I'm going to have multiple babies or multiple fathers. My intention was to stay with this man, have a family, raise a family. And, you know, because there's so many children out there, me included, I'm an adult now, that may start off with a father in a home, but eventually the father's not in the home anymore. And
mm-hmm.
so I was like, I never wanted to put any child that I would have in that position where the father
right.
isn't around. But I didn't have no control of that situation. And later on, you know, my marriage dissolved, and, you know, both my kids became a product of an absent father. And like I said, I agree with you that, you know, both children to be nourished properly needs both parents. You know, they both have,
mm-hmm.
both parents have their own things that they could bring to the table that the children need, you know. I mean, nothing's saying wrong. I know there's plenty of women and plenty of men that raise their kids on their own, but I do believe that, you know, both parents have something to bring to the table because, well, one parent doesn't bring, that child lacks, and that child seeks for it, and you don't ever know how they're going to try to get what they need and go about their lives and trying to
mm-hmm.
find what they need to fill that void, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's like I never wanted that for my kids, you know.
And I remember growing up, and I felt some type of way, being
yeah.
dark-skinned, being a fluffy child. Like, that wasn't in the 80s. Like, kids are mean.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
You know, you used to have this frustrating feeling, like, I don't know, like you just want to beat everything up, you know.
Right.
I was like, I never want any of mine to feel that way. So
right.
actually, I was in foster care. I was in a group home, a whole hell broke loose. But when I turned 13, my case manager sat me down and she said, listen, you know, people are not adopting kids your age. They, you know,
yeah.
they want their kids to be young. She sat down and had this conversation. Like, she really literally sat down and told this to a 13-year-old. And she said, I'm giving you the option of doing independent living. That's what they called it. You do
yeah.
independent living. We're going to give you all these Living Well classes. Or
yeah.
you can stay on the road to find an adoptive family.
Yeah.
Now, I had been in foster care since I was about six or seven. My mother and father are already deceased. Family members, they done migrated out of New York City. So, you know, so she sat down and she gave me this, and I felt so like, well, you know, I don't want to be in this group home the rest of my life, so
right.
just give me the independent classes. You
right.
know, and that's what it was, you know, and that was the road I was on. But just to sit down to somebody that's 12 or 13 years old and tell them, well, listen, you have no hope to finding a family that's going to take you because you're too old, you're too big, you're too black
right.
or whatever, you know, that's,
right.
this is what you're telling me, you know, this is like, what, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, well, what happens to me? You know, if I'm a single parent, what happens to me? Then what happens to my child? Who takes that over?
Right.
You know,
I agree with you on
that. Treat your child the way you treat your child. You know, and
right.
I realized, like, you know, my mother dropped me off to a family. She was like, these are your family. I was five. I remember that conversation. All I wanted was my skates.
Yeah.
You know, so that feeling of abandonment, that feeling of, like, I didn't just make this
yeah,
off
yeah.
a whim because I'm not in love or nothing like that. Like, it really, you know, it's really something that, you know, I grew up as, and this was something that was like the main thought for me, which is my thing.
Right. I really feel like I can agree with you on that sense of it took many years for me to work past my own abandonment issues because, like myself, I was dropped off at a foster home at 5 years old and told it was another kid's birthday party, and my mom said she had to go to the store, and she never came back. And so I became a ward of the court. Yeah, I can't remember the words now, but I was a ward of the court, and I was in that place till 10, and, you know, they had people come. It was like a facility where they had, you know, children like myself. And, you know, it got to the point where I didn't want nobody to love me after a while because they had foster parents come in, and I had a few foster parents, but because I was different, acted different, or wasn't your regular child due to my circumstances, that if I didn't behave within that particular family's curriculum, back
right.
I went, you know.
Right.
So it's like
right.
I'd
they
have
the
have
option
not
to give you back, like
right.
That's a whole
right.
other conversation, but they
and
really do
I,
have the
I
option.
I just got to the point
to give you back.
I just got to the point where I don't want no family to adopt me. Fuck it.
Right.
You know, don't get my hopes set up that I'm going to actually be a part of a family. You know, that this is like what, you know, I'm not no charity case. I'm a person.
Right.
You
right.
know, my circumstances are beyond my control. But I'll be damned if I'm going to get, like, you know, we cool, we want you. Oh, wait a minute, you done showed your ass. No, go back. You
right.
know, I mean, if you
right.
people's got to realize that when you even do take on a foster child, they're not
mm-hmm.
perfect like maybe your own children in your own home. You know, we have issues, we have things. So it's like, you know, I would say for any parent that, or anybody that actually adopted a child and was successful with them, that takes a lot of effort, you know, and a lot of
yeah.
understanding. And so, you know, I actually, believe it or not, didn't get adopted into the right family that wasn't even looking to adopt me. It's just that the state gave me back to my dad, who was extremely abusive on all levels, and this one lady picked up on it because I was hanging with my best friend at the time, and
mm-hmm.
she's like, you know, she pulled me aside and talked to me, and I was like, I was about 14, and she goes, look, she goes, I'm going to have you live with me, and I ain't never giving you back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right, I've heard that before.
Right,
but, you know,
we've heard that
long story short, you know, it takes, I think there's very few actual successful foster parents, and there are that are successful because they know that basically, you know, if you don't fit their standard or their quality of living, that you're done, you're out, you know.
Yep.
And then, you know, that sets up abandonment issues that you have
mm-hmm.
to learn to deal with, let alone why am I here? Why don't I have a family that loves me? And then you see your friends, they got a regular family. Like, we go to school, your friends, they got parents, they got this. You don't have that. So then that sets up, it's like it's a domino effect of different reasons, like why, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I already knew that going into having children. I didn't even have children until 25. And, like, you know what, much as I thought or anticipated that this is going to be something that's going to work and the man's going to be in the home and he's going to be a dad, it just didn't pan out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think everybody, I don't know if everybody's done this, but I know as a child I've done it. I fantasize by the time I'm 28, I'm going to have my first kid, I'm going to be married, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. You have this dream of what you're going to do when you're 25, 28, because, you know, I'm settled, I'm this, I'm that. Yeah, my goal number was 28. 28, I was going to do all this. I was going to be finished with school. I was going to have my degrees, and I was going to be this businesswoman, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, then all that shit came tumbling down. Like, yeah, reality kicks me in the forehead. But anyway, back to the conversation.
Right.
But these are outside entities, you know. Don't think that this is not related, because it really is related. You know, a woman, you know, we go through, not saying nobody else do, but we're talking about women right now. So please, gentlemen, or, you know, anybody else, don't feel no type of way. It's just the way we're talking right now. But, you know, we have a lot of different entities that play a role into if you're going to have a child or not. You know, it's how you grew up. The environment you was around. Did you see that? Like, when I got older and I was basically about to start high school, I finally found this family. She had an older daughter, but they believed in tough love, so that's another story. But she had an older daughter who already had a child. And I came in and the daughter bit me on my cheek the first day. So, yeah, that's how that was. Right, but I was 13, 12, 13. You know, I can't abuse my kid. But, yeah, I had just came from a foster mother who had, you know, I basically had got kicked out the house because I was beating up on the peoples. But that's another story altogether. Yeah. And I get to this lady. This lady's a single mom. She got a granddaughter. And it was basically a house of women. It really was a house of women. So, you know, I was grateful because with that, I learned that independence. That I don't need a man to lay tile. I got the tile. You know, I don't need a man to change the light bulb. I got the light bulb. I know how to paint. I know how to put electronics together. I know, you know, everything you say, you know, I could do my laundry. You know, I was taught to do all that stuff, you know. So I got this sense of independence right along with these classes on how to fill out a money order, you know. But that one thing that was lacking through all of it was that support system. So I'm like, and that's when I told, you know, I said this yesterday, if y'all tuned into Musically Inclined, I was like, it's more to a relationship than the penis.
Right.
It's more to a relationship than the dick. You know what I mean? Because you can get dick from anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can go anywhere and get dick. Listen, I'm horny. Come give me some. You can get dick from anywhere. So you need something that you, like, I need you to complete me just like I need to complete you. That's your full circle. You know what I'm saying? So right now I'm lacking that support system. You know, so if I had a child right now, I would feel inadequate. I would feel like I couldn't do this because I didn't have that support system. There's no guarantee he's going to stay. He can get up and leave. Not saying all men are like that, but he has that option. If you have a child, you don't have that option. Or you feel like you don't have that option. You really do have the option, but you feel like you don't have the option because if somebody found out, then you're the worst person in the world. If you gave your child up for adoption, if you thought about having an abortion, and you know personally deep down in your heart, I can't do this. My heart, I know I can't raise this child. Let me go ahead and put this child in a predicament where he can have a family. Oh, my God, you worse this. And da, da, da. Like, they really come at you. And as a woman, if you get married, your husband's going to expect a child if he doesn't have a child. I feel like that pressure right there causes my decision on not to be married. I don't want to get married. I'm not, because I'm not having your baby. It's not going to happen. So, I mean, it goes hand in hand. Like, why would I put you in that predicament of depriving you of having that child that you always dreamed of? You want to be a father figure. You, in your hearts to hearts, you know that, you know, this is what you can do. I know my heart cannot take 10 years down the line. You tell me I'm not in love with you. I'm leaving. I'm out. Nigga, I will hunt you down, and we all going. We all going. I'm that lady in the car. You were tied up with the duct tape. Going. We all going together. So, to avoid all that, like, after all I've been through, yeah, I watch Snap. You know, I got some ideas.
Yeah.
You know, that's my decision, and outside entities play a big role on deciding. But, you know, there's some times where you have this, and I hate to use this word, mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some women out there that had a mistake. They had sex for the first time and end up pregnant. You know, they didn't think it was going to happen, but it happened. He pulled out, the condom broke, and at the end of the day, it was a mistake. And that right there, I don't like that word. I don't like that word, mistake. I don't even know if I was a mistake. Ooh, girl. you're tuned in to Phone Fantasy Radio right now, Sister Soldier Shalou. We're talking about childhood, childbearing, to bear fruit or not, to reproduce, and all the entities in there. Fellas, we would like to hear from you as well. So if you want to tell us your story, if you have children, if you don't have children, if you're a deadbeat dad, we want to hear about, you know, a male's perspective. We're not selfish. We're not selfish. We want to hear from the fellas, too. 805-830-8320. Press 1. Share your thoughts. You've been listening to the conversation. We'd definitely like to hear from you. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. Excuse me. And when we come back, we're going to finish the conversation. And, yeah, that's how we would go. Hey, welcome back to Sister Soldiers Unite on Phone Fantasy Radio. That was Kendrick, the Soul Family, with I Am. And I thought it would just be the perfect way to kick off the theme for Sister Soldiers Unite right here on Phone Fantasy Radio. 805-830-8320 is the number to call. Press 1. Join in the conversation. I have Mistress Sexy Mae representing Queens, New York right now.
Hello.
We also have Lady C, who's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we have everybody. And we also have, Brick, our hostess with the mostest from Brick in the City, come on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. She's in the chat room with us. And, you know, we're going to keep the conversation going. So before I went on break, excuse me. I see we have a caller. Well, let me bring on that caller. Yeah, we got a caller who wants to jump into the conversation tonight. Caller?
Good evening, everyone. This is the City. How y'all doing out there?
How
hey, City.
How you doing, the City?
How y'all been?
Man, a man's voice. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was, I was actually listening to you all's stories and different things of that nature, and I want to say good evening to all the ladies that are on the show here, and, you know, I just want to put my two cents in for it.
Yes, please.
There is many different interpretations of love, let's put it to you like that.
Right,
and,
right.
People love for many different reasons. People tend to want to get married for many different reasons. But, you know, as we are taught growing up, that we're supposed to fall in love with someone because we actually love them, that agape love, you know what I'm saying,
right.
That unconditional love.
Right.
And a lot of times we go by different encounters in our lives. Different encounters in our lives mold us into who we are as people. So if we've had bad experiences with men or women, we
mm-hmm.
tend to derive off of what our experiences are. And a lot of times it's a good thing, but sometimes it could be a bad thing, because a lot of times you can have someone right in your face who
mm-hmm.
is there for you through thick and thin, who
mm-hmm.
is a confidant. But we don't want those people. We want people, unfortunately, a lot of us, we want people that are superficial. You know, the person has to have a certain height, a certain weight, a certain color, a certain
mm-hmm.
caliber. When instead, mm-hmm. when sometimes we can have a good friend in front of us who has been sent to us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get on a religious thing, but on a spiritual thing. Sometimes God sends us, you know, the person that we need to be. See, a lot of times we always seek what we want instead of what we need. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, if you've had 100 bad apples and you have one good apple in front of you, a lot of times we don't know how to deal with that good apple that's right there. You know, we tend to always assume we'll call this person at wee hours in the morning, you know, to cry on their shoulders, they're always there. But we look at them as, that's just a friend. You know what I'm saying? When in all reality, that could be the person that could change our lives. So a lot of times we don't look at those things. We look at, you know, all the superficial things instead of looking at the heart of a person. Because
mm-hmm.
when a man says something, for example, if a man says that he does not want you, then he does not
mm-hmm.
really want you. A lot of times, a lot of women tend to, say, well, let me change him. You cannot change a man. A man can change himself. A man is the only person that can change himself. Because he knows when he's ready to commit himself to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, please don't give up. You know, please don't give up on black men in general. Because, again, there are a lot of good black men out here. Unfortunately, there are a lot of knuckleheads. But think about the family structure. Think about it. Let's take it back a little bit, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
if you as a person has grown up in a single, for example, I'm going to give you a scenario, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that I grew up in a single family home. My father was,
mm-hmm.
let's say hypothetically my father was out of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my mother was holding it down, taking care and providing and raising me and everything like that, okay? Now, the only attributes that I've learned is through my mother. So, for example, if my mother has had bad experiences, you know, with men, 9 times out of 10, if a boy has a good relationship with her son, a lot of times we tend to, not we per se, but parents tend to, like, water things down to the man. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to say, is that a woman cannot teach a man to be a man, nor can a woman teach, in other words, a man needs a father in their lives, period. Because
mm-hmm.
what I'm trying to say is that people learn through consistency. So
mm-hmm.
if there's consistency in a child's life, that
mm-hmm.
child will have some type of consistency going on with them. Not necessarily always, but the majority
mm-hmm.
of time, for example, let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's say you have, again, I'm going to go back to single parent, okay? When you have a single parent, for example,
mm-hmm.
that parent can't teach, that woman can't teach that boy how to be a man. So, in essence, he learns based upon whatever he hears from his mother. So, if he hears from his mother, oh, your father was no good, blah, 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 he's going to have the assumption that she feels the same way about him. So he, in turn, is not going to ever learn how to be a man, how to respect a woman, based upon what he's learned from his mother. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is, like, for example, that goes for a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So in essence, a lot of time, you know, so that is what tends to destroy a lot of the family structure in terms of balancing. Now let's flip it over to a different side. Let's say both parents are there. Well, they're physically. Let's say the mother is the one that's taking the children to the to basketball games or whatever it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the father is there, but he's present, but he's not doing anything. So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is, a lot of times I heard you all saying, some of you all saying that, you know, I was married and it didn't work out or what have you. Those things happen. I'm sorry to hear that. But what I'm trying to break it down to is the fact of the matter is that a lot of times, if the man is there, for example, in other words, the children follow the man. The boy and the girl follow the man, because guess what? If that man is loving to that mother or to that wife or to whatever that is, girlfriend or what have you, a lot of times a man will follow after his father. If his father is loving and respectful to that woman, he, in turn, will hopefully, when he gets out of the boyish ways, because every boy, I don't care who you are, every man from 18 to 25, you know what I'm saying, is going to do their thing and get their freak on, whatever they do. That's just what it is. Because they're trying to figure out, okay, what are the things that I want to have in a partner, in a woman, or a partner, whatever. So if you look at that from that standpoint, a lot of times men, boys, only can be men through a man. So in essence, if they have a positive person.
Let me jump in here real quick. I'm sorry to cut you off. But I wanted to jump in here. I wanted to ask you, do you have children?
No, I don't have any children. No, I don't. I had a child.
Okay.
My child passed away. But
sorry to hear that.
So I was, thank you. So I was have had the opportunity to, and I never tried after that. So, because of me losing my child, I just said, forget it, I don't want to have kids, but now I do. You know, it took me a long time to get over that and to deal with the loss. So, I don't have any children right now, but I'm just saying in general, based upon my experience, for example, let me give you the brief description of my family background. I was fortunate enough to have my father in my life from day one. So in essence, he's kind of like old school. He's very old school. He's a alpha male to the fullest. He believes in providing and taking care of his children, and he did. He provided and, you know, provided for the household and everything. So that's my point of view. In other words, because he showed us in terms of how important family is, or in terms of how a man is supposed to be to a woman. Maybe not necessarily from a biblical standpoint, but from a family standpoint. You know what I'm saying? So, in essence, what I'm trying to say is that if you have a good lead, 9 times out of 10, you'll follow that same lead. For example, if a girl has a father in her life and he loves and nurtures the mother and provides for the mother, that child, that girl's going to grow up and want the same things that her father gives to her mother.
Right.
So
that's only natural.
So in terms of that, that's just my two cents on that. So, you know, but I'm just grateful, you know, I'm glad to be part of this and listening, because I'm learning a lot about y'all women now. So now,
no,
you know,
I don't say that.
No. I'm just saying, not in bad way. It's not bad. I mean, everybody has an experience. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes when you come across a person that you're meeting and you're talking to and you're communicating and they finally open up to you, you kind of can have an understanding of where they come from and why they feel the way they feel. But the person can be the one that changes their mind if they allow themselves to open up and to want to change. Because if you want certain things, sometimes we have to make decisions and sometimes we have to make conscious decisions on what it is that we need versus what we want.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the proof is right in the pudding, as I don't know, that's a corny cliche, but that's basically what it is. That's my two cents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for your two cents. We appreciate you bringing a male perspective to the conversation. You are tuned into Sister Soldier Select, Sister Soldier Unite on Fantasy Radio. Trying to talk fast. May, any rebuttal to what the city has been saying?
I like what he had to say. I agree with him.
Right. I agree with him, too. That still don't change my mind. I don't want no kids. Mm-mm. Nope.
No, but I'm just saying.
I ain't about that life. I ain't about that life.
I mean, you say that now.
But I do desire to be a foster parent, so don't think that I'm all bitter, folks. I'm not bitter at all.
No,
I do desire.
No, I'm not thinking that. That is the word that I'm not saying. What I'm saying is that there are many people out here who decided they don't want to have children, and that's their preference. Nobody's going to say you're bitter. Nope, I would never say you're bitter.
Actually, that's
angry
not true.
No.
I've gotten
a lot of
slack for saying I don't want to have children. What's wrong with you? You're 34. No kids.
Okay, but guess what? I'm 42 with no kids. So what you saying? So
right.
Something's
wrong with you. It's not what I'm saying. That's what society say. If you're 34 and you've never been pregnant and you don't have no kids and you're single, there's something wrong with you. That's golden right there. But now, if you're 20 and you got 14 kids and you're single, I guess it's okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you can't please these people.
Well, unfortunately, it's a rare, you know, it's you damned if you do, you damned if you don't, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Because, think about,
you know, they got this whole, you're bitter, you're this. I'm not bitter at all, you know.
Right,
for them. Like, I believe in long term. I just don't believe me signing over your name to me or my name to you. I don't believe in all that. But I do believe in a long term relationship. My goal is not to be your wife.
but again, you know, that's your preference and you're entitled to your
preference. That's my preference. And
you know,
the only way I can talk about
again,
is me.
As I said it to you, remember when I first met you, I said, listen, you are a rare entity and it's going to take a real extraordinary man to be able to deal with you. And that goes again. I say that again. It takes going to take a strong person to be able to understand that you decided and you got to have some, and then you got to come across somebody who can meet you halfway at least, you know what I'm saying? Who can say, okay, well, fine, being that you don't want any kids, fine, you know what I'm saying? Let's get some dogs or some pets, you know what I'm saying? Like, because he may not even want foster kids. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like, you in any relationship that you're in, you have to bend. There's a factor where two people have to bend. If one person is bending more than the other, it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, if that's what your preference is, that's fine. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know what you can handle versus what you can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
But even myself, I'm 42 with no children. You know what I'm saying? You think I don't get looks at and everything like, oh, is something wrong with you? Were you in a alternative lifestyle thing? And I'm like, what are you talking about? What does that have to do with Bryce T in China?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just because, and again, these are women that are asking, like, what's your situation? I mean, my thought pattern is, duh, maybe I can't have children. Not to say I can't, because I can, but, you know, maybe it could be a medical condition. It could be anything. So why would you ask someone that on the first date? You know what I'm saying? Why would you ask a person, you know, on the first date, why you ain't got no kids? What's wrong with you? I can see you say, okay, I don't have no kids. Okay, fine, cool. You know, and then you ask the next question. Do you want children? And, you know, there's appropriate ways of doing things, but people would just, I don't know, you know, again, and it has a lot to do with media, too. Media puts a lot of pressure on everybody, to be honest, you know, or the little Cinderella effect in general, you know, in terms of, oh, when you grow up, you got to have, get a wife and get married and have kids and then buy a home. You know, I mean, well, get married and have that picket fence and a big, beautiful house, and you know, you go to college, you get your degree, you do what you got to do, and then you provide it, and you grow old, and then your kids go up to college, and then, you know, I mean, everybody's situation is different. Some people have to work, you know what I'm saying, at a young age, and then work themselves up to where they're financially comfortable, and then decide, well, okay, now that I can take care of and provide myself, let me just focus and go back to school and college. You know, it's different. It's not like how it used to be back in the day.
So were you young when you had your child? Were you young and married, or were you single?
Yes, I was. I was married.
Oh, okay.
I was married. The demise of the marriage, it was many reasons. The demise of the marriage, because once you lost the child, the marriage just went.
Your phone got low. Hello?
Hello, yeah. I said once my daughter passed away, that was it. You know, it just dwindled away. And the reason why I actually, you know, married her too was because she got pregnant. But it wasn't that I didn't love her. I did love her. We were together for a while. But my thought pattern was I refused, you know, I decided to do things the right way, you know. And I decided to marry her.
Is that the right way?
According
to who? Okay. Oh, the Bible? Oh.
No.
Religion?
No, I'm not going to that. I'm not going to
Yeah, that's another conversation. You want to go there? We ain't got
to
go there.
It has nothing to do, with religion. It was something that I wanted to do because, again,
why is that the right thing? Like, I mean, there's so many alternative lifestyles.
Okay,
alternative families,
I
should say.
Okay, but
you know, and I don't understand, like, as you pregnant, why you...
Hello? Okay, but I'm not into alternative lifestyles or alternative families. I'm saying that that's what I felt was the right thing to do. That was my choice. So that's what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with alternative families and all this other stuff. You know, it was just something that I chose to do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I felt, because, again, I was raised in, you know, I had a mother and a father that was together. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience. So I wanted to carry on the sort of the traditional way, because, again, anyone who has a parents who are married, it's not to say everybody's going to get married, you know what I'm saying? But I got married, I'm divorced now, my little brother's married, he's happily married, he has 3 kids and he's doing well. So, you know what I'm saying? So what works for one person may not necessarily work for the next person. But it's not to say that I wouldn't get married, because I would get married again, of course, most definitely. I would love to get married again, because that's just what I believe. I believe in the traditional way in terms of family. I'm not a traditional person in anything else, but when it comes to family, I believe that you need to have some type of security set up for your child and for your significant other, especially if that woman decides to have a child for you. Why not help her, you know, why not allow her to be secure? You know what I'm saying? Because guess what, for example, let's say I have a trust fund. I have a $100 million trust fund, right? And because I didn't marry you, I died. You know what I'm saying? That money's not going to go to, that money may not go to you or your or that child. That money may go to the family, or it may go to the state. You follow where I'm coming from? So it's about security at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you bed my children, for example, and I die, right, and I've been providing for you, but I'm not your husband, then there's a thing where security comes in, because, again, that means that you don't have any say over anything. The family can come and take that over. You understand what I'm saying? So look at it from that standpoint. Unless I put you on my plan and say, okay, you know, this is the person that I want to leave everything to. But a lot of times, we don't think about things like that. You know what I'm saying? We think like, okay, you know, so if, let's say you and I are together and we had a child and I die.
Okay, we're taking this conversation way past where we wanted to go just yet, so I want to cut you off right there. I get what you're saying. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate you tuning in, and it's already top of the hour, and I only got an hour left. So I'm just going to cut in right there. I get what you're trying to say, that security thing. Like I said, I do appreciate you calling in and sharing your experience and your thoughts with us. It was very interesting.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Sexy May?
Yes.
You're still here. Any rebuttal to what the city had to say? I see we have a
I really feel like I can't say my opinion because his opinion – you know, is what he made for his decision. So, it's like, I'll never knock nobody for their own life decisions, you know.
Right.
But I wish Lady Sarah would call in. She's here saying a lot in the chat room.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to come back, and I wanted to ask some stuff, but I can't ask some stuff because the conversation went that way. So we're going to come back and finish. We're going to come back after this break. It is the top of the hour. You are talking to Sister Soldiers Unite on Phone Fantasy Radio. This is going down every Tuesday for the month of March. Next week, we have our first Fan of Her Spotlights. We have two guests coming in. One's a model and the other one's an author. So, you know, stay tuned. Be right back.
Lily Love Music. Take one. Fantasia.
My name is Renee, and I'm a baby mama. My name is Juanita D. Sims, and I'm a baby mama. And I'm giving a shout-out to my baby, Oscar, India, and TJ. Hi, my name is Shaquan, and I'm a baby mama. I just keep calling from
baby mama. Cause nowadays it's like a badge of honor to be a baby mama. I see you paying ya, I see you working ya, I see you going to school. And girl, I know it's hard. And even though you're fed up with making beds up, girl, keep your head up on my feet. And you're like, what the hell? You say, this ain't even half a daycare. Saying to yourself, this shit ain't fair. And all my girls who don't get no help, who gotta do everything by yourself. Remember, what don't kill you can only make you stronger.
Yeah.
welcome back to Sister Soldiers Unite, Phone Fantasy Radio. The conversation is going very well. We've talked about few personal situations. I shared my story. Mistress May shared her story. Lady C shared her story. And even our good friend, the city from Brick in the City, called up to share his story about children, parenthood, wanting to be a parent, not wanting to be a parent, about love. We've talked about love. We talked about relationships, the family structure, all this. Lately, we've been talking about a lot of everything on Phone Fantasy Radio. So now I wanted to get into something more like with the fact that you have society's input and media's input, and the city touched on it a bit, is when you have the media input. You know, growing up, you've seen things in the media, you've seen things on the news, you've seen, you know, things that really basically change your, or sculpt your point of views, as far as like having children, being scared to have children, or, you know, like these things, these outside entities really scope who and your feelings on different, as far as different situations, especially when it comes to parenthood and childrenhood parenthood and bearing children. There's one thing I wanted to say, like teen pregnancy. I went to an all-girl Catholic high school here in New York City, and I was in ninth grade, and about three kids in the senior class was pregnant. And unfortunately, when you start showing, they get rid of the child. They transfer the child out to a program where they can finish their education and, you know, learn about being a mother and things like that. But you don't see that person no more. So it scared me a bit because, you don't know, you hear all these stories about what happened to that person. This person went here, this person went there. All these different stories on what happened to that person. You know, the rumors start floating around. Like, oh, they sent her away, they sent her to this place, you know, they kept her baby, all this different situations. But now you turn on the TV and teen parents got their own show. Like, you get tweet updates, you get different types of updates on this child, right, she's still a child, and it's like they get a check. And, like, you know, you see the struggle. They're supposed to be, the struggle of being a teen parent. But it looks fun. Like, oh, I can be on this popular TV show. I could be an actress, or I can have 15 minutes of fame. And they bring them back, you know. And it's like these kids don't learn because they're 16, they have one child. And when they turn 18, they have another child. And by the time they're 21, they're three children in, you know, toddlers and infants. And it's like, does that shape... My question is this: does that shape today's generation? Do you think reality TV, such as the show Teen Mom, Real Housewives, this is reality? I understand people are going to get pregnant, people are going to have these babies, and, you know, your grandmother, you probably had a child when you was 12, 13, 15, 14, you know, but is this something that you want to glorify on television? That's my question. What do you think, Mistress May?
I like, when it comes to, you know, family life, it's like, mine's been so dysfunctional. It's like I'm still trying to put all the pieces together. So it's like, I listen to it, but I feel like if it really just don't apply to it, you know, I'm trying to go for, I just don't listen to it. I just like to bypass it.
Right, right. I don't know how I feel about that. But I do know this. I was in a Catholic school, and I brought condoms to school, and all hell broke loose.
When I went to school, they had you go to the office and get condoms.
No, but let me tell you, you know, they believe abstinence, you know. They believe sex before marriage, abstinence. They're supposed to teach you that. But it's not realistic in the urban, inner city community.
Yeah.
That's not something that's real. You could preach it all day, but there ain't nobody listening. You know what I mean? So for my senior project, I put together this week-long health project, and I had the there's a quilt out there, the AIDS quilt, where people who've died from AIDS, their name go up on this quilt. And, it's, you know, back then it was like 400 million feet long, and they would take off different sections, and they, like, you know, let it go out, and you could go in there, you could sign it if you want, you could make your own little panel. And that was my senior project. I spent my whole senior year putting this project together. The newspaper came and everything, right? But the health people that I had come in, they were like they worked with teenagers. You know, I later on became a peer advocate, peer educator, and I also became an outreach street worker later on. So it has inspired all this, you know, this one event. And I had a nun who was part of the fourth agency I was with. She was a nun. Sister Elizabeth, right? Sister Elizabeth was the realest sister I've ever met. You know, like, she knew what it was. Like, listen, sister, I don't know, this is not the move, you know. And we put together this this week-long education, and, you know, and we was basically trying to scare them straight. You know, like, it's not as glorified, it's not as cute as you think it should be. And the sisters there, they didn't like that at all. But I did graduate, so I feel good about myself.
Hey.
I feel good about myself. That was my way to get my diploma. Shit. But anyway. I was bad in school. Let y'all know I was bad in school. But anyway. So I've watched maybe one episode of Teen Mom, Teen Mom 2, and I think that show should have been canceled a long time ago, because it's like, it's not just you trying to take care of your kid, but you got them getting arrested, you got them DUIs, like, they're influencing a whole generation here, you know, and they're the most popular teen channel there is, MTV, like, that's what MTV was geared to. You know, I remember watching MTV and watching TRL and, you know, movie videos and things like that. Now they got this whole reality kick, and the same thing with Cartoon Network. They got this whole reality kick, you know, and it's like, wait, Cartoon Network's supposed to be cartoons 24 hours. Why is this reality show on here with doing crazy stunts? I don't know. It's just my thing. It's just something that came to mind when the city was talking. And then I just wanted to know people's views on that. You can give us a call at 805-830-8320 and join into the conversation. We got 15 minutes remaining on the show. And like I said, we'll be on the air tomorrow for the Dame O show. We're going to have an exclusive show, new commentator, Dame O. He's from Chicago. He'll be doing his show tomorrow night. And he'll be talking more about relationships and expectations versus reality. So that sounds like it's going to be a very interesting conversation. And we'll be back here next Tuesday. We'll be back here next Tuesday at 9 p.m., and we'll have our guest panel, our featured guest, who's an author, Fatima, and we have LaQuisha, who's also an author. So we have a model and an author coming to the stage next week. You going to join me, Mistress May?
Definitely.
Yeah, Mistress May show is coming up, too. So this is all about sisterhood, a night of sisterhood. We're having a good time here on Full Fantasy Radio. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to have our final thoughts about tonight. And, thanks for tuning in. We do appreciate it.
Back out on the block, charge that to the game. young girl, she grew up in a rush. Had it bad, no doubt, she don't know who to trust. Every man she ever loved only wanna crush.
Charge that to the
team. But it's all crazy, hey baby. Shots getting popped, the cops shut down the party. Jeans sag low, blow smoke out of the tree. We've got love for y'all, we got love for us. So naive that she believed every single lie. 17, first time, sipped up, about to have a child.
Charge that to the game.
Was just us and my single parent home. She did the best she could, did it all alone. Met a man, but he won't raise a child that's not his own. No, no, oh no, no. But it's all crazy, hey baby. Shots getting popped, the cops shut down the party. Sag low, blow smoke out of the tree. We've got love for y'all. We're all on the
Shout out to the chat room, Lady Sarah, Brick, myself, who's all in the chat room. Shout out to everybody who tuned in. See y'all tomorrow. Like, Mistress May, you have any final thoughts or shout outs you want to give?
Just stay tuned for the next show. I've been enjoying it so far and look forward, you know, the talking scene, what the model has to say and the author has to say. Is there any insight on what kind of author? Is like she just a woman inspirational type author, or what kind of author is she?
No, she's not a woman inspirational. She actually wrote a story, and, you know, we're going to get all into it. She's working on her second novel now. She's a novelist.
Oh,
she's working
okay.
on her second novel now. It's and it should be real interesting. It should be real interesting. We also have...
Can you say any types of, like, can you say, give a little hint about what kind of author she is? Is she a 50 Shades of Grey type person, or...
No. Romance.
Oh, okay, romance. Yeah, I like romance. What?
Anyway, once again, thank y'all for calling in. This is the last of it. We'll be back tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. right here on Phone Fantasy Radio. 805-830-8320 is the number to call in. We appreciate y'all's support. And, you know, the conversation turned out good, but we're going to end the show a little early, and we'll be back next week at 9 o'clock. So.
Oh, she's
that's
Sarah
how we
says
roll.
She's on the phone.
Oh, she's on the phone now. She made it in.
Yeah. That's what she says. She's
hey,
on the line.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, no, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Mm-mm. Nope, we can't hear that. Mm-mm. You're crackling. Crackling, man.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. We can hear you now. How
Hi.
Are you?
Much better.
Oh, okay. Because I was just like, I'm holding. I'm like, a little. Hi. So I wanted to shed some light on a gentleman about what he was saying, that he, you know, it seemed like he was a little selfish to me. I mean, I feel like once you, before you get married, you're supposed to discuss finances and what you want in your relationship and all of that. Why get married if your wife wants to have children and you don't? I understand you want to be financially set. That could take years. But why would you deny your wife a child if you're supposed to be married?
Oh, your phone breaking up.
It seemed like he was one-sided. Hear me now? Hello?
Okay. You say it sounded like he was one-sided?
Yeah, it sounded like he was being selfish in the marriage to me, because how can you say that you wanted to make sure that your family is secure and all of that? Why didn't you do that prior to you getting married?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was lost at. Because, I mean, it's no I in a marriage. It's supposed to be a we. It's a union.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
How can you deny your wife a child because you felt that you guys weren't financially set?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mama, what'd you say? So I was lost when she said that.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That's
it. I was trying to figure out why. I was like, wait a minute. That didn't sound right to me. And I'm like, I'm sure I wasn't the only one that thought that.
Oh.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, if you in the marriage, a marriage is two. It takes two to tango, just like when you're about to have that baby. I understand you probably have the reservation because of his child passed, but at the same time, if you married your wife and she wants to have a child, you telling me that I can't have we can't have a child because you feel like we're not financially ready? That's not
right.
Why get married? That's what I want. You know, that's why, you know, I was kind of, you know, shocking hearing that when he said,
"Yeah."
That.
Oh
that's
no!
City, yeah, he's not here now. But all right, well, thank you, Lady Sarah. I'm gonna call you Lady C.
Okay.
Thank you, Lady Sarah, for calling in. We appreciate that. You know, giving us your insight. unfortunately, he's not here to answer your questions, and I don't know much about his situation. I'm not going to assume anything about his situation. It's just, you
right.
know.
That's why I said it should be another discussion, because I would like to hear more as far as why didn't that, you know, why didn't you think of that before you got on your knee and said, I do? Because that's part of a dating question. I mean, do you want kids or do you not want kids before you even get in, before you even say, I do?
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
You know, I mean, that's a deal breaker on some people. It's like, okay, why would I get married?
I've been told that, yeah. They've been told that, okay, I can't see you no more because you don't want to have kids. Some
right.
dude asked if I wanted to be rich.
Literally.
He was like, you want to be rich? I said,
right.
Yeah, who doesn't have my baby?
Uh-huh.
I'm sure my insurance.
Know, people will not get married if you don't want to.
Your phone crackling again. We can't understand you, Sarah.
You say you don't want no kids. I'm
okay,
sorry, can you hear?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I said that's a deal breaker for most people when you say you don't want any kids.
Mm-hmm.
People were literally not, they were like end the marriage just off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just my little percent.
Right, but that, you know, that whole you lost a child situation can be very devastating to a person and very discouraging.
Yeah,
to a person, both the male and the female at the same time. To be a woman and lose a child, and to be a man and lose a child, I can't even imagine. But to be a woman and lose a child, you can go insane off of that. You thought you wanted to have 3.5 kids, and then you lose a child, and that 3.5 kids, it's not going to happen right away, so.
That's true. That's true. But then when do you move on? You know what I'm saying? You're going to tell me you're going to be tormented for life? I mean, I understand that
it's
you're
easier
hurt,
said than done, especially if you don't get that professional help you need. Sometimes you need professional help.
Right.
Sometimes you need an outside entity to help you, push.
That's why I'd rather have him, because I was trying to catch him before he got off the line, to ask him furthermore, what happened? Was it you and your wife's child? Because I didn't get any of that information. That's why I was trying to figure out, why would
I couldn't get a word
the
in.
I got the back end.
Was going in on everything else, so I don't know. I couldn't get a word in. He was going in about everything else that we couldn't get in, people started
arguing.
But anyway, thank you, Lady Sarah, for calling in. Any shout outs you want to give?
Shout out to Chicago.
Shout out to the snow and the sleet and the ice that's out here right now. Big shout out to winter. Mother Nature, Auntie Flo. Look, Mother Nature and Auntie Flo, y'all bitches are haters. I'm just saying.
Right.
No,
I don't tell my bestie yet. A shout out to Chicago. The host tomorrow is going to be from Chicago.
Yeah, Dame O from Chicago.
Really? Uh
huh. He's the pioneer in skate music. Y'all be stepping out there in Chicago. He got 104 tracks. Mm-hmm. Dame O.
What's his name?
Dame O. Yep, there you go.
I'll tune in.
Huh?
I'll tune in. I said, I never heard of him, but I'll be tuning in tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, he's supposed to have a nice conversation about the Cinderella Complex.
Yeah, I want to hear his version.
Mm-hmm. 9:30, folks. It's not going to be 9 o'clock. It's going to be 9:30. To 11:30, so it should be an interesting conversation. All right, folks. On that note, have a good one. Enjoy the night. Appreciate y'all supporting us, and we'll be back here next week. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
I'm gonna play a song before I leave. No, I'm not. Bye. I'm out.
Okay. Bye.